Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Welcome to Fightful. It is July 1st, 2024. We are fresh off of AEW, New Japan Forbidden Door, incredible main event. Lots of news at FightfulSelect.com. And we've got Money in the Bank heading your way this weekend, post-show here on Fightful. Make sure you check it out. But tonight, we're here to talk WWE Monday Night Raw, world title match, some Money in the Bank qualifiers, updates on some injuries, some maybe some contract hints, things like that. We got Denise Salcedo of Instinct Culture here with us. Denise, how are you?
What's up? Sean, I'm really upset that I didn't notice your shirt said Kentucky right before we went on the air, because my shirt that says Los Angeles is literally sitting right there. And I'm like, come on, like, we could have planned this out, Sean. What the hell?
I'm sorry. I didn't know that your shirt was over there, Denise.
I just didn't notice right now. And I'm like, damn, we missed out on what could have been something pretty fun.
Contrary to what some people think I should be, I am not a soothsayer or a mind reader or any of those things. But by God, I am.
You read minds.
You know what? I am an exclusive wrestling news reporter, and we had some exclusive news today on FightfulSelect.com. We're going to tell you about it momentarily, but leave a thumbs up on this video. Leave a comment on this video. It goes a long way in helping us get the word out. Leave a nice review on Apple or Spotify, anything like that. It helps people find us on audio platforms. But if you want your questions or statements read on the air, do like our friend KE775 is doing. Send a super chat here at youtube.com/Fightful, or head over to humperchats.com. That's humperchats.com. And right out of the gate, we got people asking about Natalya. Now, we had reported a while back that Natalya's deal is up this summer. They have been engaged in contract talks, they being WWE. Mercedes Moné did not exactly hide how much she wanted Natalya to join AEW, as she didn't outright name Natalya, but said, you know, I got a friend and her husband that I would like to join us. Fightful Select confirmed that Natalya not only wasn't going to be on the show, but was not at the show, was not there. And probably the most ridiculous thing I saw was somebody go, she's probably just celebrating Canada Day. And I'm like, but she lives in Florida. That woman lives in Florida. What are we doing here?
But you can still celebrate, though, even if you live someplace else.
Sure. They got all kinds of Canada Day celebrations down there. But Denise,
celebrate in the privacy of her own home.
Yeah, I bet. Denise, this does not mean anything specifically for her contract future. They have been engaged in talks, but WWE have been very quiet about any potential developments. How are you feeling about this as we see that she wasn't there tonight?
So when in the summer is her contract up? What month are we talking?
Summer. This month would be this month. Her deal. If her deal is up, it would have either been late June, early July.
Okay, I understand. So basically what I'm seeing with a lot of people, because we've talked about this with a bunch of people, is that they are really waiting until last minute to sort of re-sign people or talk about things. And we have seen so many different scenarios play out. For example, Becky Lynch, she decided to take some time off. Then we had Dijak recently, which his situation went a lot differently. You have your interview up there, so people want more details. But basically, he had said that they, that once it came down to like the final hour, they decided not to re-sign him. Then you have someone like Chad Gable, who once they waited all the way till the end, he ends up re-signing. Then you have Ricochet, who didn't re-sign. And then who knows? People are expecting to see him in AEW, for example. So just with those four names that I mentioned, we've already had very different scenarios, but one of the things that is the common denominator here is that their contracts and everything that happened very last minute. So I feel like right now, just based off of all of the stories that we've heard that have been in the news cycle as of late, it feels like really anything can happen with Natalya. It doesn't feel like we're seeing the same thing happen over and over. And you've said this a million times, but everybody's hopes and dreams and things that they want to accomplish are totally different from other people. So I don't know what Natalya is looking to accomplish, especially because she's done so much already. And she seems to really, really care also about helping people grow in the ring too. So she can be an asset either remaining in WWE and doing what she's doing or going someplace else, whether that be, I don't know, AEW, TNA, I have no idea. Or hell, maybe she wants to take time off too. She's been on the road for how long now? So I feel like, again, because of all of the stories that we've been seeing and how different everybody's outcome and story has played out, I don't feel like I can confidently say what is going to happen or not happen with Natalya.
I do feel like she does want to wrestle based on what I heard, and she has done a little bit of everything, but let's look back at her history on like Raw and SmackDown. She has had, as I'm looking, in a singles match, she has had 3 matches go over 8 minutes in like the last few years on Raw and SmackDown. Like since October 2021, she's had 3 singles matches go over 8 minutes. Money in the Bank as well. So 4 or 5 maybe. NXT, she's getting those reps. She wants an opportunity to wrestle, I think. She wants an opportunity to show people what it is that she can do, I believe. And I believe she'll stay. I believe she'll stay, but interesting note.
It would just be so weird, I think, to not have Natalya in WWE because she's so used to working at that company. But then again, I mean, okay, remember Bryan Danielson, right? When he left WWE, the first thing he said, which was why he went to AEW, was because he said that WWE was like a marriage, right? Like, you already know what to expect from your partner. You already know what you're going to get from the marriage. You're safe. You already know what's going to happen. And he said going to AEW was like something different, something new, because you don't know what's going to happen. So again, that could be a thing that plays into it. Who knows?
And listen, I don't want to speak on her finances or anything like that, but she's got like 16 years of main roster money. She was on Total Divas for 6 seasons. Not only that, they had to pay TJ to be on that show too, because he was a character on Total Divas for 6 years. TJ's got a decade and a half, probably plus settlement money from WWE for his injury. Needless to say, she's done all right for herself.
Can I just say something? You can tell when someone looks loaded and when someone's not loaded. And let me just say, Natalya, based on how I've seen her dress and how the videos and things I've seen of her home and stuff, she looks loaded. She looks fine. She looks good.
She's
good for her.
Got a lot of money. And, good for her. And if she gets a deal, it's going to be high 6 figures, low 7 figures in this landscape anyway. Man, Pavement Cut Your Hair says, Denise, you got bangs now? You doing okay lately?
It's been a while. It's been like almost a year.
Yeah. CBC Bonbon says, the name graphics during the backstage segments overkill. I didn't notice them as much. The only thing I thought was overkill was the shaky cam during one of the fights tonight. That was it.
The women's?
But let's go ahead, jump right into the show. Just a couple quick plugs. Corey Brennan interviewed Simon Miller. That is up on Fightful now. I'm dropping a Tommaso Ciampa interview on the 4th of July ahead of his tag team title match. Joel Pearl will be in Toronto doing media this weekend for Fightful. So lots of stuff there. And as always, FightfulSelect.com. The story that we just talked about with Natalia, we had broken a lot of that news over on Fightful Select. And I've got a very interesting story coming Tuesday, if you're an AEW fan or if you're not, about how and why the main event of Forbidden Door came together. Because I found that out this weekend and I was like, okay, that's very interesting. Interesting enough for me to do a story on. We got a whole lot of contract news there. And JMG Gillis, I'm going to scold him. He says, Corey Brennan and Fightful also said Julia would be at Heatwave. You know what we also didn't say? Oh, gee, you know what? She's going to break her fucking wrist between now and then. So sorry, JMG Gillis. We are not soothsayers. And much like that, I also couldn't predict that Denise had her Los Angeles shirt. So, you know, we can't hit on all, we can't predict them all, JMG Gillis. I am so sorry that we can't go back in time and predict that someone is or isn't going to break their wrist. It's a shame. It's a shame. But anyway, Jey Uso promo, Gable comes out and interrupts him. And Gable, they're talking about the Wyatts and stuff. And I love Jey Uso saying, I told them they could have the Fireflies. I'll take the mosquitoes. I'll take the cockroaches. I don't care. I don't want to deal with them anymore. I don't want to end up like you. And Chad Gable ends up trying to attack Jey Uso, then gets scared off. What did you think of this opening segment that is to promote the Money in the Bank ladder match?
Well, I feel like they kept it relatively simple with Jey Uso's portion. It was primarily just the entrance, although the entrance was extra cool tonight. And I think it was because the crowd was very, very excited to be there. I felt like they felt extra pumped. And so it kind of made the entrance a lot cooler. But had he been saying Money in the Bank before, or was this the first time he has said it?
I felt like it was the first time. Maybe I just missed it.
That's what I was wondering too. I didn't know if I just didn't notice it before, but I felt like this was the first time he said money in the bank. And now, again, this continues to add to my theory about him winning the Money in the Bank. I mean, he's completely branded for it. You got the yeet in the bank, money in the bank. I mean, there's just a lot happening here. Maybe they're doing it. Maybe it's too on the nose. I don't know. But that's what I kept thinking about during this entire thing. And as for Chad Gable, I mean, his whole portion, do you want me to get into that or?
By all means.
All right. Just making sure. I wasn't sure if we were getting to it already or not. But the whole thing with Chad Gable, it finally makes sense now, right? Because later on, they kind of explained about how people hurting their families. So now it makes sense as to why the Wyatts are coming after Chad Gable. So at least that makes sense now. But in the beginning, at this point in time, we still did not know. And he's just being haunted by all of them and their silhouettes. And he's just all scared and running off. There really isn't too much to say about this because, again, they kept it very brief for both Chad Gable and Jey Uso here. But I thought it was interesting they had that they had Jey Uso kick off Raw, that they gave him Money in the Bank. I thought that was probably more telling than anything.
So we did see that Nikki Cross brought out another VHS to play, and we saw the Wyatt segment. So Bo said that there were a lot of people that were basically running or mistreating their families in order to get personal gain. And he said that the people that he have adopted have become his family, and they have been the ones that are forgotten about. Now, we've broken this down in the past. He said specifically they were belittling their own families for personal gain. I figured this week what we would see is like one of the other characters telling their story. I do think this is a good way to stretch it out and make you care about them more and more and more. I don't think every single week we can do Nikki Cross coming out with a VHS. I don't think that can happen 4 or 5 weeks in a row. You know what I mean? But so far, so good. I thought Bo Dallas is doing great here. This is developing some lore for him. Go ahead, Denise.
You know what would have been really funny? If one, because you know how she started with the VHS? If she just progressed where it's like 1 week it's the VHS, The next week, it's a DVD. The next week, she puts it in a little drive. Then the next week, she just copies and sends a link over to, or airdrops it to Michael Cole.
My God. Like, the technology just improves.
I mean, come on. That would have been kind of funny. I would have popped
She brings out the film reel.
Yeah, she could have started way back. What's before VHS? Is it film reel? Or?
Yeah, I think it was film. Hell if I know.
I don't know. Weren't you around, Sean?
Hey, guys. I'm here to tell you about Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling. There are some strange people out there, some shady people out there. And a lot of times you struggle with your own data privacy. I've had those struggles myself in the past. And it is unfortunately way too easy to look someone up and get their personal info. Sometimes you sign up for a loyalty card or a membership online, and the next thing you know, you've got a bunch of emails, a bunch of calls, because somebody has sold your data. For example, Incogni found over 200 brokers with my information. Those brokers are required to remove your name if you ask them, and you might say, man, I don't have the time to do that. Incogni.com/Fightful does. And they'll make sure it happens. Not only that, I had people signing me up for physical and digital spam emails. Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling fixed all of that. And that's just one of the many benefits of Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling. Criminals do not care about the rules associated with those websites, so take it into your own hands. Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling. You just create an account, grant them the right to do the work for you, then kick back and watch them work. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. I was not, Denise. I was not. Will Chisholm says, I like how triggered Jay looked because when Chad said they want you because you left your family. See, that's interesting as well, because I know a lot of people, they said a lot of different things, like a lot of, there were a lot of theories about this, but you've got Dominic who takes for granted Ray, rather. You've got the whole bloodline situation. You've got Alpha Academy and their family. There's an awful lot of options here, I think. Like there's a ton of options here.
What I liked about that, I did forget to mention that, was that when Chad Gable alluded to the bloodline, I feel like it's been a long time since anybody has flat out said anything to Jey Uso. I mean, there's so much craziness going over with the bloodline and no one has said anything to Jey Uso.
Yeah.
So and they should, right? They should. Should they?
Yeah. I mean, I think that they should. I mean, still, he's sort of proven himself as not being a shithead on Raw so far, but they did a lot of stuff. So if somebody's still got some issues with Jey, I mean, if you remember, that was sort of the catalyst for Drew McIntyre and what we saw out of him, because he's like, I don't trust this guy. He's terrible. Like, he did horrible things to us. So, I don't have an issue with anybody bringing that back up. Metalhead Forever says, only good part was the Wyatt segments. I mean, listen, a lot of people are going to really, really like those segments. We also see Chad Gable speaking with Otis. He's really trying to get back on Otis's good side, and he at least seems like he feels bad, but you see him still not really taking responsibility for it outside of those interpersonal interactions with Alpha Academy. So like with Jey Uso and other people, he's not necessarily seeming like he's turned over a new leaf, but with them, he is. What direction do you think this is going to go?
So in terms of where this is going to go, I do think we have to get Otis versus Chad Gable. I feel like if we go back to them being a happy family with Alpha Academy, we're just going steps backwards when I think we should be moving forward. I think they left that tease with the Creeds and Chad Gable, and that tease made me want to see that instead. I want to see Chad Gable in a new family or whatever you want to call it, group of friends. I want to see that. And him sort of coming and talking to Otis. I'm glad that Otis is still sticking to his guns because Chad Gable didn't come last week. He did come off as insincere to me, and I did feel bad for him. This week, he did not come off as insincere to me. So part of me was thinking like, nah, bro, I'm not trusting you at all here. And here's the thing. I'm wondering how much longer, or is this always going to be a situation where Otis is attached to Maxine and Akira Tozawa? At some point, is that going to expire? Because then at the same time, what else do you have for Maxine or Tozawa? Not really anything else.
I wouldn't mind seeing them do an NXT run too, because Maxine probably needs some reps. And Tozawa in NXT, it'd be one of those situations where you think that, oh yeah, he's the comedy guy. And no, he's not the comedy guy. He can actually wrestle his ass off. But speaking of a potential family for Chad Gable, the Creeds are doing Bloodsport. Denise, you and I have talked to the Creeds a couple times. I've spoken at length with Julius Creed in the past about how he wants to transition maybe to MMA one day. This is really incredible and interesting. I mean, this, we're talking like four or five different people that have been booked for Bloodsport now.
Who are they wrestling against?
They haven't announced yet.
Oh, they haven't announced it yet? Okay, because I hadn't seen that. Like, I hadn't seen that they were doing Bloodsport. So this is news to me. That's exciting, man. When you mentioned that, I was like, what? They're doing Bloodsport? Yeah. I just completely missed that. But dude, that's going to be sick, man. I'm telling you, I have been trying to go to Bloodsport now for every single year that it's been around. And every single year, I don't get to go to Bloodsport. And so I feel like I'm missing out. So selfishly, I'm just sitting here being jealous.
So Xavier Woods defeats Karrion Kross with a quick pin. After this, the Final Testament lay out New Day, and Kross breaks Kofi's arm. Sort of like elevates him with a bit of an arm scissors type of move, and is carrying the full weight of Kofi here. It looked really devastating. I am all for the arm scissors coming back as a threatening move. Karrion Kross does it. Swerve does it as well. How'd you feel about this before I get into what I thought was about to happen?
Okay, first of all, I don't know why. I actually thought that kind of looked a little hokey to me. I don't know why, but it just did not look devastating, like you said, to me. And so I guess it's maybe it was just like the selling of it. I'm not really too sure. I just thought it came across as a little hokey. What I did like, though, was just the overall... I'm torn here. I really am. Because at the end, when... we see Xavier Woods win this match. Immediately, I'm thinking, oh, so that's it? Like, Kross is like, because we know Kross and Final Testament are supposed to be getting over with this storyline. At least I would imagine that they would, because it's not like they need to get the New Day over. The New Day are over. Yeah. And so when Kross lost this, it was just instant predictability. You knew right away that the AOP was going to come in and help him out, and they were going to get their heat back. So there was nothing in here that was unpredictable. Everything here that we saw that followed was predictable. And so part of me was like, okay, they need this. They need them going in and being all loose cannon. And last week when they did the attack, they needed that too. They've been needing things to make them look a little less on the loose, right? That's what you want to see from this group. But I don't know. It's a slow burn for me. It's really a slow burn. I just don't think they haven't done anything that has been too special where I haven't seen this before. Like, the Final Testament hasn't done anything that I haven't seen already, nor have they presented anything new yet. And that's sort of what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting to be surprised by something new, especially given that the group is supposed to be, I guess, dark, mysterious. I don't know. It's like AOP It's like half the group is dark and mysterious, and then the other group is the rest of it is just there. Because Scarlet and Carrion, they seem to be like all bewitching and stuff. With
it's a lot of ingredients with Scarlet and Allering there. And I mean, listen, I know to AOP's credit, they didn't want to come back without Allering. They are very, very loyal to him, and I respect that a lot. But yeah, Jamar says, I really feel it'll be Kofi that turns on Woods, not the other way around. They have been adamant for years to not turn on one another. Denise, it will be 10 years in about 3 weeks for the New Day. It just kind of wild, like that's when those vignettes started for the New Day 10 years ago, and they've been together ever since, outside of when they sent Big E to a different brand or something like that. There was a little slight part of me that goes, is Big E about to come out and make the save? Is he about to do it? But man, it's been what, two plus years now?
Yeah, I think so.
I just miss the fella so much. Miss the dude so much, Denise.
Yeah, my brain doesn't even go there, to be honest, because I feel like putting false expectations on somebody is just not, I guess, not the way to go, you know? So it's like, why would I even think it if it's not, if there hasn't been any indication that it's a possibility?
Yeah, and you know what? As somebody says, if he was coming back, I'd tease a breakup ahead of it. Yeah, tease a breakup and instead swerve him and you get Big E. But that's wishful thinking here. Guys, if you don't mind, share the video, leave a thumbs up, all that good stuff. Rock Hard Joel Wood says, not doing percentages. How likely do you think Natty stays and Becky will return to WWE? I think both of those things happen. I think Becky will return to WWE eventually. And I do think that Natalya will stay with the company. But just reporting the news that we have as of right now. Tensions with Judgment Day backstage. Damian caught Dominic lying. He's like, have you talked to Rhea? And Dominic's like, yeah, she's cool. And he goes, well, guess who's not cool? Rhea, because I just talked to her and she's pissed. Then we see Liv in the locker room. Finn Balor is like, hey, listen, I know you don't like her, but she got us the tag team titles. Then they have an argument. And you know what? I think Damian Priest had some points. At the moment in which he did that interview, he was the world champion and nobody else in Judgment Day was a champion. By the end of the night, they were tag champions. So he said at that moment, you did need me more than I needed you. Just like when Rhea was the world champion, we needed her more than we needed anybody else. And now that you're tag champions, we need each other. Denise, what were you doing off camera? I hope people clip it and try to ruin your life with it.
I was snorting coke. It's what I do.
See, I can't even I'm go sorry,
I have allergies in case you can't tell, okay? I've had allergies every single day of my life.
It's so easy when it's Denise. It's so easy when it's Denise.
And but I didn't take medicine today. I forgot.
If I do this, I am snorting the world's largest pile of coke. I would have died if that were the case. My God. Jesus.
I'm going to tell everybody one day. I'm going to do a shoot promo and be like, you know, I used to be a nice, wholesome girl. And then Sean Ross Sapp told me that if I wanted to have a job in pro wrestling, I needed to start snorting coke. And that's how I started.
Listen, I got Effie coming after me all the time. And people are saying, like, oh, are you actually going to bump in your next match? And I'm sitting here saying, listen, if there's anywhere I can learn how to bump, it's GCW, if you know what I mean. So anyway, Rhea Ripley is on the phone.
That's a coke joke, right? Because you bump coke? Yeah. Okay. Just making
look
sure.
Look at this quote right here.
I was snorting coke. That's what I do.
Will says, I love how Priest is playing Big Brother by staying loyal to Rhea by saying she was the champion and she was the leader. Yeah, he is. And I thought that his point was good. It's probably not what Finn Balor wanted to hear, but he did try to play peacemaker a little bit later on, which I think was good.
I'm siding with Finn Balor here, by the way.
Really?
I think I like that Finn Balor approached him and was like, dude, why'd you say the things that you said? And he gave his reasoning for the champion stuff. But let's be real. That's not why he said it. You think he threw a shot like that because of that? No, he didn't. So Finn Balor was not being like a wuss here.
I think you're right. I do think you're right. I just think it's a good excuse from Damian Priest.
It is.
Like, but if you're going to lie.
Not buying it, though.
Sure.
And that's true. I feel like, you know, Liv Morgan has been doing good for the Judgment Day. She's been hanging out with them, bringing them chicken nuggets. I mean, she helped them win the tag team titles. What's so bad about that? They're breaking
up. I can't disagree.
They're breaking up. It's over. Like, this is it. Like, Damian Priest is going to break up from the Judgment Day.
So, like, I'm really excited about the SummerSlam card as it's presented. Like, looking like maybe Cody and Solo or Cody and Randy, something like that. And I think we might see the Judgment Day imploding there. I wish we could get Rhea back in that amount of time. But, like, there's some good-looking stuff headed towards SummerSlam. And, I mean, they get back a couple big names, it'll be even better. I mean, they're doing this right now without Punk, without Roman, without The Rock, without Rhea, without Becky. I think they're doing pretty
when you say it like that.
I mean,
might as well just say their whole entire roster. The biggest stars that are there right now, active, Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins. Who else would you consider on that, like, that tier?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I mean, there's Cody, obviously. There's a lot.
No, but I'm talking specifically on the Raw side.
Oh, on the Raw side. Drew missed a few weeks and couldn't wrestle for a little bit. But I mean, like, even look at AEW. I know a lot of people don't think the world of Jack Perry, but from a character standpoint, he's been very, very helpful for them. They got him back in April. They got MJF back in May. They got Britt Baker back in June. They're getting Adam Page back in July. Like, finally starting to see some people back. And I mean, like, as Will McClain points out, Gunther has not been on this show regularly either, because they haven't needed to overexpose him, which I think is really good. Speaking of, Ludwig Kaiser says he's got broken ribs and he is he's promising vengeance. I thought this was a phenomenal interview and vignette. He's killing it.
The one that Sheamus did later on in response to was good. So I like both of what they're doing there with Ludwig and Sheamus. Ludwig Kaiser, I mean, shit, what can I say? He's that is true. I do not know the price of drugs. I had this conversation and I was supposed to do research and ask around, but I have not yet done my research. Anyways. What the hell was I saying? Ludwig is cool. Ludwig is cool. There you go. I'm rooting for the guy. That's all I've got to add. That's my brilliant take.
We see Liv Morgan defeat Zelina Vega. This was very sports entertainment based, obviously, considering how things unfolded. KE775 says, good match between Liv and Zelina. However, it feels like the women's world title is a holding pattern until Rhea gets back because of no credible challengers. How are you feeling about that? And Ryan Sully says, hey, SRS and Denise, enjoyed the Liv Zelina match. Crowd was into it. Best Zelina match since Backlash in Puerto Rico. Cheers. Well, yeah, because it's one of the only ones she's had since then. She was really good in Money in the Bank last year. I believe she was in Money in the Bank last year because she did the Sunset Flip Powerbomb.
Yeah, she was.
And she was really good there. But the crowd was so hot for this match, Denise.
Yeah, I was very surprised by this. So last week I was surprised by her promo, and this week I was surprised by just her in-ring ability, because there was a moment where they sort of teased that she might actually win. She hit the 619, she hit the DDT, she goes for the pin, it's a near fall. And for a split second, I thought, holy smokes, are they going to just strip the title off of Liv Morgan right here, right now? And so I legitimately thought for a second that that could happen because of the way that they set it up. And so she's just looking a lot more confident in there in the ring. But this was honestly not bad. But in terms of, is the title picture for the women on the Raw side, is it hot stuff right now, competitive wise? No. It's not. And I mean, I could kind of say the same thing about it over on the SmackDown side, since they haven't done all that much with Bayley either. It feels like it's more so the women that are coming up, the challengers that are finally starting to heat up, which is great, right? It's great. You love that. But I also think that we should simultaneously be having the champions on both brands just do a little more. I mean, because this was the situation that we were dealing with Rhea. Rhea was the same situation where we only saw her wrestle sporadically. And I know you had mentioned that there was that leg issue. And, but then it still felt like there was something just missing from that. And so, and then unfortunately she gets injured and now she had to vacate the title. And it feels like for such a long time, we just didn't get a lot from her as champion because so much of it surrounded Dominic Mysterio. And now Liv Morgan's whole storyline revolves around Dominic Mysterio. So Dominic Mysterio is kind of the MVP of that women's championship. Yeah. And at this point, put him with the belt.
So he and Ray got involved, and I was really happy that Corey Graves made a comparison to Art Barr, who a lot of our fans might not know. Now, obviously, he doesn't mean the gross things that Art Barr did, and you can look those up. But Art Barr was Eddie Guerrero's teammate in Mexico, and they were really good. One of the best matches I've ever seen was at Worlds Collide with those guys. And I've always thought that even though there is the Eddie Guerrero comparison, obviously, because of the Dominic storyline, his current character and from a physical standpoint is so reminiscent of Art Barr, who, again, very gross person in the things that he did, very incredible performer. So I know that Graves meant that as a compliment, as I had as well. Like, he was very, very good at getting heat, and Dominic is also very, very good at getting heat. And the crowd was white hot for this match. It was great placement on the show. It was, it was really, really good. And go ahead.
You know what's crazy is that we're talking about how Rhea didn't have as much matches, Liv Morgan didn't have as much matches, and it also around Dom, yet it's still working and it's getting them over.
Yeah. And I mean, it does. They need to build contenders, though. It really drives me nuts that they don't build contenders specifically for women's titles. Piper Niven with Bayley's title, Alba and Isla with the tag titles, this one as well. Build some. Zelina lost the Money in the Bank qualifier and got a title shot. It's so weird.
It feels like they only build the women once they're actually about to become champion. And if they're building them to become champion, they keep them as far away as possible from the champion.
Yeah. It's unusual. Liv Morgan does a post-match interview and, you know, she's getting her heat and all that stuff. She's very good at playing.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Roll. She's very, very good at it. But yeah. You know what what her next gift should be? Her next gift for all of Judgment Day, because they're always traveling, because they're always at hotels, because they're always at venues, she should get them NordVPN.com/Fightful. And here's the great thing. Like, it would be a very, very affordable gift because they've got this great deal going on where you get 4 extra months and up to 20 gigabytes of eSIM data when you go to NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can get pay-per-views at a much more affordable rate. So if any of them were watching AEW this past weekend, they could have got it at a much more reduced rate. You can go and watch SmackDown overseas. That way everything isn't censored by changing your virtual location with just one click. Maybe you want to hear people say curse words on SmackDown. Well, fortunately for you, NordVPN.com/Fightful is available for all your devices. And they got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protection, and 24/7 support. So if you're like, well, gee gosh golly, I do not know how to use this, NordVPN has 24/7 support. No matter where you are in the world, you can get help. Look, I watch every event for free. Listen, there are ways. There are ways. NordVPN.com/Fightful, the fastest VPN on the planet, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It is fantastic. I'm going to be using it a lot during football season. Got to use it during baseball season because they make it impossible to watch baseball. But NordVPN.com/Fightful. Yana says Cody's title is in a holding pattern too. Nothing has been wrong with any of the women's champions, just bad booking of contenders. I think Liv is killing it with what she's been given thus far. I agree with that. Like, I think the champions are doing fine. It's the development of contenders, and that reflects poorly on the champions as a result. So I'm with you, Yana. And I think that now that we're in the 5-match pay-per-view era or PLE era, we're not going to see every title defended on every show. And I think that's good, because then you get title matches like tonight on Raw, and look how hot it was. I think it works out pretty well. Rock Hard Joel Wood says, Denise, I was Ubering and a Taylor Swift song came on and I started to turn it, and then it started to get me and I slowly started jamming to it. I'm slowly turning into a Swiftie. Do I need help?
Which song was it?
I don't know. I'll tell you this, guys. I can't remember what streaming platform I was on. Denise will be able to tell you, but I started to watch a couple of Taylor Swift songs from the Eras Tour. There you go. And I mentioned it to Denise. I was watching it largely for production, because there's great production on these. And I just,
oh yeah, Sean, you're watching for production.
I send like half a message to Denise, Hey, I'm watching the Taylor Swift. And then I get hit with every goddamn piece of Taylor Swift trivia, her shoe size, her date of birth, her mother's maiden name, her cat's name, the first street that she lived on. Denise could probably get Taylor Swift's passwords at this point.
There's a funny story to that. Her mom a couple years ago told her to stop making her passwords very predictable, because she did get hacked because people were able to figure it out. It was very simple. But so it's like a running joke that she kind of had to make her passwords a lot harder, because it was very easy to figure out what Taylor would put as her password.
Well, here's the great thing. If you can't remember them, you can get NordVPN.com/Fightful, and they got the password manager. So Rey Mysterio defeated Dominic. The match was a hoot, but there's a situation where Jeremy hit me up and he goes, hey, can I run the headline that Dom gets in missionary position on Liv? And I said, no, because that's not what happened. Dominic mounted Liv. And it got an insane reaction. But the real reaction was Michael Cole unable to stop laughing. Like, he couldn't keep a straight face during this situation. And Rey Mysterio wins. What did you make of all this? Apex Caliber says it's getting old. Rey beating Dom all the time.
Yeah, I get that part. It was actually my favorite part. I didn't even notice the Michael Cole thing, because I was too busy laughing about how Dominic was supposedly trying to get off, but he was making very, very, very little effort.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, you know what I mean? Like, he was barely, like, she was barely holding on to him, like trying to keep him there. And he was like, oh my God, I can't get out. I can't get out. Like, he was not even moving.
God damn, kid, is he working or is he shooting? Or both.
I don't know. That's kind of awkward, right?
You think?
Yeah.
My God.
Because, come on, like, you always hear that, what is it, like, you don't bring in your wife into wrestling, right? Because then all of a sudden, she, could end up with one of the wrestlers. Or anytime that a guy and a girl get thrown together in some sort of storyline, next thing you know, they have an affair or they hook up or something crazy happens, right? And so, you know, this stuff has happened in the past. I'm not saying it will, but I'm just saying it's happened in the past. So there is that little...
Well, Rey defeated Dominic anyway.
I would be a little jealous, honestly. Like, if it was my person out there doing this kind of a storyline, I would be a little bit nervous. Just a little bit. And it's the same thing. Like, what if they're like an actor on, you know how many actors are now saying they don't want to do like sex scenes and stuff like that because it's too difficult with their partner? Like the one guy from You, he season 3, I think he was like, I don't want to do any of these scenes anymore. And I was like, boo. And then he said, why? And I was like, oh, I get it, but boo.
Denise.
What? So Rey gets, acting, just do it.
Rey gets the win. At this stage, Rey is what he is. He's still effective in his spot. Dominic doesn't lose anything by losing this match. It actually adds to the story. We get like the one-ish Rey Mysterio win per month to keep him relevant. And, you know, it's to effectively use him. And I think that's understandable. That's understandable. Sheldon Jackson says Jim Jones is greater than Taylor Swift.
Sheldon Jackson still on the list.
Damn. Seth Rollins comes out to cut a promo. He is interrupted by Finn, who also is interrupted by Damian Priest. How did you feel about all this? It ended up with Seth Rollins getting attacked. He thought that there was going to be, that he was going to get jumped along the way as well. But how did you feel about this one?
I'm sorry. This was not good. I don't know what they had Seth. Seth, what?
It wasn't for me either.
No, I think it was the Seth promo for me that just, I found like no real, there was nothing here. I'm sorry. And I thought it was kind of silly when Seth was bouncing around in the ring going, oh my God, are you guys coming for me? Like, is this all a plan? And I'm like, why are you acting this way? Like, it just came across as very, very goofy. Like, am I wrong here? I kind of felt like.
Yeah, it wasn't for me.
Right. It didn't make him.
It seemed like a segment. No, it's all right. It seemed like a segment for the sake of having a segment, which is okay sometimes, but. I at least liked where Balor was like, you know, everything is changing, and it is. He's reached career heights again under the Judgment Day. But he's blaming Rollins for this, and I'm like, well, Rollins didn't make Liv Morgan do all this stuff. Rollins didn't hurt Rhea Ripley. Like, that's, I felt like it was just something to do, and this one didn't hit for me. The match is going to be incredible. I can't wait for this match. It's going to be really good, and I love the stakes that they have applied to it. But I don't – like, this one wasn't for me. It just
didn't make sense, too, because at first it seemed like Damian and Seth weren't on the same page, and then it seemed like they were, and then it seemed like they weren't. So I'm like, okay, so are they or are they not?
It seemed like everything else that Balor and Damian Priest did tonight had more substance to it than this, the World Heavyweight title segment. And obviously, once Saturday rolls around, there's going to be a lot of substance to that. There's going to be a ton of substance to that. But I just, this one wasn't it for me.
Yeah, and I don't like the making Seth Rollins look so goofy like this. I like to see him as a serious competitor because I'm a big Seth Rollins fan, and I didn't like the way he came across in this segment.
Will Chisholm says Liv is going to pull a Triple H and drug Dom and get married. Damn.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, that one at this stage, like, even though it would be an ode to what they did 25 years ago. Whew,
it took me years, by the way. I had no idea that he had drugged her. Like, when I first watched that, I had no idea. I didn't find out till like a zillion years later. Because that wasn't like what my mind was thinking back then. I didn't know about drugs and shit. Like, I had no idea you can drug somebody.
So, like, I wonder, like, I'd have to go back and watch. Was it always a coup from Stephanie and Triple H? Did he not really drug her in the story? It's been 25 years since I've watched it.
The way that they did it was when she was getting married with Tess and she was freaking the hell out when Triple H came out and revealed the footage, right? And she was super, super pissed during that. And then for some reason, I'm blanking on how it happened afterwards. But afterwards, it was almost like she was in on it because she all of a sudden like fell for him and they did the whole thing.
I miss Test. If like before, you know, he went and got just ridiculously big. He was so good for his experience level. And man, he would fit in great today.
I liked his theme song, Test.
Oh, it was great. Test. It was incredible. It was incredible.
I Women's used to Money. Not like it back then, but I liked it afterwards. So
good. Women's Money in the Bank qualifier. Zoe Stark defeated Dakota Kai and Ivy Nile. Bep Jr. says Dakota deserves something after DC breaks up. Jared says Dakota, Zoe, Ivy got a good reaction from the live crowd. Featuring the mid-card women is regularly paying off nice. Tony K, are your ears burning? Hey, bud, what are you talking about? Are you kidding me? I hope this is you saying Tony has been doing this, so this is why, because we're talking about Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa with a program, Willow and Chris with a program. Like, there have been undercard programs on AEW. Like, that has happened. So, I mean, you can't sit there and say that isn't happening there. If anything, WWE needs to do that more. I'm glad Zoe got the win. I know Dakota wanted the win. She had talked about it on stream even, Denise. But it's Zoe who had a really strong performance. She's got a lot of experience in these ladder matches as well. I do want to see Dakota in a prime spot like this, but I think almost the story is that Damage Control isn't being able to do that.
Right. I think a lot of fans, because I was reading people's predictions and everybody was like, oh my God, Dakota Kai is going to take the last spot. She's going to take the last spot. And I think I let everybody's opinion sort of make me think that it was going to happen too. So when Zoe Stark won this match, I was actually surprised by it. And I don't know why. I think it's, again, I was just listening to everybody else's prediction. And so I got swept away. So I thought that Dakota Kai was going to take this one, but Zoe winning this, to me, makes it's not necessarily that it makes sense, but it's more so that I think she fits perfectly in there with the women that they already have, because you already have some high flyers in there. You have Chelsea Green, who's going to do the comedy bit, and Zoe Stark is a great wrestler, and she's probably going to be the most hard-hitting one in there. And so I do think you need somebody like a Zoe Stark in the match, in the matchup, because you're going to need someone that can also do that kind of like, the power stuff with the ladders and things like that. So I feel like Zoe Stark in a way does make sense to be one of the participants in this Money in the Bank match.
Yeah. Isaac says, interesting theory I have on Zoe going to Money in the Bank. Remember, she beat down Trish Stratus at Payback. Trish is from Toronto. Does Trish show up and cost Zoe, leading to a match at SummerSlam? I think that's really out of left field. I don't hate the idea of that, but if they were going to do that match, they would just do it in Toronto. Why would they? I don't think they're going to use one of those matches as a SummerSlam match. I don't think that's happening.
I think they would have started teasing to that already to give people to get people excited if Trish was going to come out.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, Jared followed up and clarified, and I got to say, I completely disagree with him. He says, just this year, they started to book undercard matches. After years, my foot would stay on TK's neck until further notice. Okay, the Owen Hart tournament, they're doing that again this year. They've got Saraya involved in a story related to that, or they did. They've got Mariah May in a supplemental story. They had Mina Shirakawa come over for a cross-promotional thing, did a story there. They got Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo. They've got the Tony and Britt Baker thing right now as well. We're talking about WWE. Like, if anything you can give them criticism for, it is how poorly they develop challengers for the women. They have to do better for that. They've been building Harley Cameron for a number of months over there. They just started a Riho versus Deeb feud. What are you talking about? Like, we're talking about, okay, they just started this year. WWE has not been doing that. That's the point that I keep bringing up. They haven't been doing it now. While they're white hot, they can build up a ton of challengers. They need to do better. Somebody says, this isn't even an AEW show element. Listen, we talk about all kinds of wrestling here. That's just the way that works. They've got a whole lot of supplemental stories over there right now. I don't care about what happened last year. I bitched about that last year. I'll bitch about what's happening right now. I ain't got to live with what happened last year anymore. KE775 says, you guys sticking with Jay and Tiffany as the Money in the Bank winners? I'm thinking so. Those are the two that I'm picking, Denise.
I haven't switched, but for the women, if it's not Tiffany, my second is Chelsea. And for the men, if it's not Jey Uso, I still don't think it's Drew McIntyre, because I think CM Punk will cost him that opportunity. If it's not Jey Uso, I'm thinking maybe LA Knight. Not even LA Knight. Maybe even Carmelo Hayes. WWE likes to surprise us sometimes.
Yeah, Zoe Stark was shown backstage, in a back shot, like showing her, or she was talking to Sonya Deville, and Shayna pulled her away, by the way. But anyway, you mentioned who our picks were. You can head over to betonline.ag, our great partner. Over 25 years, they've been trusted. And they've got betting odds up for Money in the Bank right now. Damian Priest is a favorite over Seth Rollins, which surprises me. The Bloodline, a big favorite over Orton, Cody, and Kevin Owens, not a surprise to me. And Sami Zayn and Braun Breaker at even odds. I think Braun Breaker's winning that. But you can bet on wrestling over at BetOnline AG. But it's not just that. It's MLB. It's the whatever the hell. Was it the Euro 2024? The knockout stage? Is that what the kids are talking about these days? Plus, they got a bunch of games. They've got a whole bunch of great things over there. Safe and secure environment. Payouts in minutes. Highest credit card acceptance. If you're ready, if you're in that NBA mood due to free agency, you can go and make bets on the NBA here in a few months. I'm sure they got prop bets as well. UFC, an insane card this past weekend that had some wild bets going on over there too. Just the co-main event changed on a few hours' notice, and BetOnline AG was on top of it. Check out their casino, their race book, all that stuff. Check it out. Liv, or Sheldon says, thoughts on the possible long-term storytelling between Liv and Finn, because in 2022, they teamed together along with AJ before Finn joined Judgment Day and turned heel. Do you think they are calling back to that at all,
Denise? I forgot about that, to be honest. I think someone mentioned it last week or 2 weeks ago. But then I just didn't think it lasted enough to leave an impact to make you go, oh, yeah, I remember that. Like, there's some partnerships that right away, the second these two guys or gals or whoever even get near in the same room, everybody reacts. And I don't know if that was necessarily a reaction with Liv and with Finn. I think it took a second.
Yeah, like, I mean, shout out to that dude for remembering that. It was, I mean, listen, it was still the Vince era. It was Judgment Day. It was Damian. Oh, my gosh. Not only that, it was Damian Priest, Edge, and Rhea Ripley against AJ Styles, Finn Balor, and Liv Morgan.
God, oh, I don't even remember that. And we talked about that.
Oh, my
God. Which show was that on? Was that on Raw?
It was on WWE Hell in a Cell 2022.
We talked about that.
And I remember. Listen, I remember the match now, and it was a good match, too. It was a really good match.
I would not remember this.
I would say it was maybe the third match of
the What happened on the show? Like, what happened in the match?
Well, Judgment Day 1 there. But
that's
damn.
Not ringing any bells.
Joel Wood says, I can't remember the name, Denise. I want to say Cruel Summer or something like
it
that.
It probably yeah, was good, Cruel Summer, yeah, because it's on the radio.
Steve Fullhart says, Finn costs Damian his title. Punk foils Drew's cash-in. Seth Gunther, Drew Punk, Finn Damian at SummerSlam. Loving the potential. Trusting Triple H's booking. I mean, all those sound really good to me. All those sound really great to me and have good stories behind them.
Hey, I'm really excited about the WrestleMania documentary this Wednesday.
Allegedly. Not I'm really. Very excited about
to.
It.
They can't do it two times where they tell you that's going to happen and then they don't. That would be messed up, brutal. Man. That'd be worse than Veer's coming.
Oh, good God. Lyra, Casey, and Katana confront Damage Control. There's a big fight. I just didn't like this at all. It was shaky camera and all that garbage. It's like, listen, okay.
But it's a fight, though. It's got to be messy.
Okay. So I'm glad you said that. Imagine, Denise, you hire a cameraman to help you do media day, right?
There ain't going to be no
Hold on.
While I'm
yes, there will be. Yes, there will be, because guess what happened at WrestleMania?
Not between me and the person I'm interviewing.
You never
and
know.
I'd be pissed if my cameraman went to go capture the fight instead. I'd be like,
doesn't matter.
Here.
Say you're interviewing somebody and you know, there's you are doing an angle, CM Punk. You're interviewing CM Punk and Drew McIntyre comes over and starts wailing on him. And it ain't a part of your plan, but you know what? It is now. And you go and you review the footage. You review the damn footage. Righteous Reg is there with the camera, but he's shaking it the whole time. You can't see what happened. You'd be like, Reg, what the hell? What are you doing? He's like, oh, I thought it made it better. It's all this WWE I'm watching.
But we could see what happened in this fight, though.
No, you couldn't. They were shaking that damn camera everywhere.
I saw everything.
No, you didn't. Who was fighting who?
All the girls were fighting.
Exactly. Chaos Control says, not gonna lie. Because of Denise, I listened to Taylor's Midnight album. Lavender Haze became one of my favorite songs.
Watch out. Look at me. I'm converting people.
I do listen to a significant amount more of Taylor Swift since I met you and Jeremy. That is
really
factual.
No, do not give credit to Jeremy. I need all the credit, Sean.
I mean, listen,
all of
Jeremy.
It. All of it. Lie to me. All of it.
And the Cease Twins as well.
All of it. I need all the credit, Sean.
Can't do it. Rockhard Joel Wood says, Bloodline taking out Paul Heyman was a red herring to Roman, but the one way to trigger his return is to take out the one person he cares about the most, Jay, 1 year after the Usos beat Solo and Roman. Listen, I am just really, really interested in what the Bloodline is doing. I want to know who's been talking to who. I want to know who's lying, who's telling the truth, who is going to side with who, why they are going to side with whoever. I'm along for the ride, and I love it. And they keep a lot of the creative very close to the vest. So a lot of it's a surprise to me as well. I think they're doing a kick-ass job with this. Do I see Solo Sikoa as a top guy? Not right now at the moment, but that's the point of this storyline, is to get Solo Sikoa to that spot. So I think they're doing a really great job.
I think things have really started to turn around since the added addition of Fatu.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, he's so good. He's so good too. Shinsuke Nakamura cornered a UFC fighter the other day who won, by the way. Nakamura, although, listen, I'll say this, as a guy who covered MMA for a long time, Shinsuke Nakamura has a very good MMA record, but a lot of the MMA in Japan and the validity of the fights are a little questionable. I'll just say that much. But he does have a history in MMA. Patrick Moore says, do I really need NordVPN? I can get my curse words from Denise on the daily. Now you can. Damn.
Dude, I'd be bleeping myself on Instagram, though, because I don't know the rules. I honestly don't. Did you see my post about me getting reported for objectionable activity? And it just was a selfie.
I'm not surprised. They're algorithm.
No, I'm scared now. I'm literally scared anytime I post anything. And it's weird because with wrestling content, some of it, I'm not sure if Instagram knows, like, you know, it's pro wrestling. So like, hey, we can bend the lines a little bit, bend the rules a little bit. But yeah, it's kind of terrifying every time I post anything.
Our Fightful Select was listed as NSFW for years because Jimmy posts, because it would prompt a warning, but it would also limit how much they would promote it too. But Jimmy posted a picture. He's the biggest LJN collector of, like, literally in the world of those old figures. And there was a naked Miss Elizabeth figure that an LJN person made, and Jimmy had it and posted the picture, and they said it was an actual nude photo. Yeah. Among other things, it was a toy.
Oh my God.
Among other things, you can find it at FightfulSelect.com. Today, we were able to confirm that Ricochet's deal with WWE is officially up. FightfulSelect.com has all the details there. And let me tell you, there's a story coming on Fightful Select tomorrow. Very interesting about how that main event of Forbidden Door came about. You're gonna enjoy that one. Sami Zayn promo. He comes out and Bron Breakker is just so natural. He's so natural here. He does such a great job. And Sami Zayn's like, man, you're telling me all the same things that I have heard for years, and I'm still here, and I'm not going anywhere. And Braun tries to go after him, and it works briefly, but then Braun goes for his new signature, which is running all the way around the ring and spearing somebody, and Sammy moves. It's a beautiful shot. Sammy briefly gets the upper hand, but gets speared. I think it is time right now, Intercontinental title on Bron Breakker. That guy is him right now. I thought this was a great segment.
I think they did a really great job of putting both guys over, where it was like, yeah, Bron Breakker speared Sami Zayn, and he could have literally just killed him for the rest of the segment. But the fact that Sami was able to leapfrog him and outsmart him and have him drive his head right into the steel steps, oh, I loved that. But at the end, Braun Breaker still gets, you know, he still towers over Sami Zayn and holds up the Intercontinental Championship. I like that, though, because it wasn't a total wipeout of Sami. Sami actually got a little moment in there, and I thought this was phenomenal. I mean, I'm looking at that, and I'm going, I love you, Sami. Sami, you're awesome, but damn, Braun Breaker needs to win this because it just makes sense. It looks natural. It just that's what it has to be.
Really, really good stuff. I'm going to talk about good stuff. Drew McIntyre defeats Sheamus and Elia. JM says, some people hate that Elia lost. Let WWE cook. Listen, man, if you're going to lose to somebody.
This always happens with Elia all the time, but it's always matches that we know he's going to lose.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the guy, he is 30 years old, which is a baby in pro wrestling, especially in WWE. I mean, that is... that's like 25 in wrestling. Like he's young. He is putting on main event matches on WWE Raw. Listen, all due respect to Elia. If this were Vince McMahon, Elia might not even make it on the show because of Vince McMahon. And now he's working main event matches with Jey Uso, with Sheamus, with Drew McIntyre, being put in the King of the Ring tournament, being put in the Money in the Bank qualifiers. I think that he is doing a great job. He sells his ass off for everybody. He got some great offense. And then he is factored in with Drew and Sheamus, who, you know, have their history. I think that they are doing really, really great. Drew eventually wins, and he says, not only am I going to win Money in the Bank, I'm going to leave as world champion. And people talking about him getting pinned pretty often. I mean, listen, it's the Randy Savage method. You win him in the ring, you lose him in the ring, and if you're good enough, you're going to stay over. He is not getting crushed in like 2 minutes. The shortest match that he's lost is, gosh, like 13 minutes long. He's beating Ricochet. He lost to Braun Breaker in a 16-minute match, lost to Jey Uso in a 13-minute match, lost to this main event. I think it's all right. He's learning and he's adapting.
It's just not his time yet. Right now the focus is on other people because of the other stories that are going on. But at no point, in my opinion, has Ilya Dragunov looked like a loser in this at all. Even though he's losing matches, I get it. He hasn't looked like that because the performance has been stellar.
I think he's proving that he belongs in the main event scene and is a guy that you can put in there. And, you know, we now granted, have we been honey-dicked in previous years over stuff like this? Yeah, 20 years ago, Shelton Benjamin should have been in the main event scene, should have gotten world title runs and stuff like that, and didn't get it. But what he did was prove that he could, if he was ever in there with a Shawn Michaels, a Triple H, a Ric Flair, a Dave Bautista, a Randy Orton, I don't know if I mentioned Undertaker, but him too, he had great chemistry with Undertaker, Jericho. He always did that. Now, this is a different era where an Ilya Dragunov is a lot more likely to get that if he connects with an audience like Shelton Benjamin should have. I have no concerns for Ilya. I think that his talent trumps all, and he's going to do really, really great. And we've got Will Chisholm saying, I love how Punk and Drew drama is two petty people who don't learn their lesson. Will's right. Like they are. I think Drew is, I just agree with everything Drew says, but I don't blame CM Punk to some degree, but CM Punk is also a type of guy like that you see on screen where, listen, we are on his fourth straight year of comebacks, Denise.
Oh my God.
He's come back every, am I wrong?
I hadn't thought about it that way.
He came back in 2021, yeah, AEW. Yeah. He came back in 2022. After the injury, he came back and did that. Came back in 2023 after a brawl out or brawl in, whatever the hell it was. He came back again later that year at Survivor Series. And now he's coming back again. So like we're talking like five comebacks in the last three years.
Yeah.
And it seems like his character always feels like it should be fresh start. Like Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg and the other guys, every time he does something, it's like fresh start. Wait, you still dislike me for the way that I acted years ago? oh, let's make an angle of this. That's how it should have been a long time ago with him, but it's going well now. Like, listen, I know that Drew was, I don't know if he was mad about Punk, but he was not thrilled about not being informed to an appropriate degree. And you know what? He's made money with it because
he's made the best out of it, out of anybody. He's gotten the most out of anybody, even WWE. Not WWE itself, but you know what I'm saying.
And as far as like the people that were in that match or in that ring when Punk walked out, people were talking about Roman and Seth and, well, what does Kevin Owens think? What does this person think? Drew stormed out and people were just like, okay, he's trying to work an angle. Now it's the hottest angle. One of the hottest angles in pro wrestling. It's just magnificent. Will Chisholm says, it's scary how Braun sounds like Uncle Scott. Need him to say holla if you hear me. Oh,
also,
man.
Also, I love that promo that Drew McIntyre did was sponsored by Modelo.
Yeah, that was very good as well. Very, very smart tie-in.
Did that on purpose? They had to have, right? Okay, yes. Just making sure. Not sure.
Denise, tell the people where they can find you.
YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo. I'm posting daily videos, BTW, because I'm a crazy person. And every single day I'm going back and I'm rewatching every single SummerSlam. And every single day I'm putting out a video at the exact same time, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Go check those out. I have no idea why I'm doing this, but I'm doing it. I'm all in and it's a lot. And please go check those out, because if not, then I'm just going to sit in my house and cry.
Guys, I got a post show for Money in the Bank this Saturday. Denise, isn't it a little weird to be preparing for a nighttime WWE PLE at this point?
Like, no, I'm so thankful.
It's weird to me. It's weird to me. But
I get to go to a party that day. I'm going to go to a party and then come back and watch Money in the Bank.
Well, I'll be here Saturday night on YouTube.com/Fightful. We have Sour Graps on Fightful Select. Check that out. I'd mentioned this on Twitter. On some of the PLE post shows, I'm going to be getting some established streamers across the streaming community, Twitch, TikTok, and the like, joining me as well. Check that out. Please leave a thumbs up. Leave a comment on this video. Let us know what you want to see and what you liked about this show or didn't like. Until next time, guys. We're out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice Bone-In Tender Ribeye Steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.